Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all of his people who love him, who hear from him as he speaks from the heart. Always remember, God loves you. He's foundational. I always say that he's foundational because he builds to stand. Everything about God, he builds to stand. He builds things to last, to work. And he once gave me a dream. When I used to read, it was concerning business. When I used to read the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, I personally adopted a method of doing business that didn't work. And I feared God so much that I wanted to make sure I never cheated anybody. And I had a complex about charging enough money. And the Lord was dealing with me about it. And I suffered many years because people, when they believe something's right, they don't challenge it. When the enemy creeps one in on you, you have to challenge it. You have to stop it, or it will affect the way you do business, the way you think, the way you judge things. Not just in business, but in life, period. All the workings of darkness, anything that's not true, you have to put a stop to it. You can trace a lot of your problems back to one thought pattern. And when you do that, normally people don't have the understanding to do that. I'm not saying they can't. But when you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, he's the one who can guide you into all truth. But you have to be willing to listen. And the Lord taught me something in business in 88. I talked about it before, how it really helped me. I said, Lord, I needed this information a long time ago. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he cannot learn the ways of the Father. When he leans to his own understanding, he can't even learn my ways, what he was telling me. Because he's already satisfied with something. And he believes it's true. And he acts on it. Well, I endeavored to be a blessing to people, but I kept having problems, and I asked the Lord, why did I keep making poor business decisions? He said, you feel in your heart that you got to be a blessing to people, to others at your expense. And that wasn't the way it was supposed to work. Now, Jesus did say if somebody take your cloak, give them your coat also. He was showing them a concept because they were the very opposite. They were out for self. They were going to, the people he was talking to were treacherous business people. They were going to get all they could. And without regard to the other person. You know, sometimes lawyers, they deal with what's legal more than what's moral. And I didn't have the balance that was striking in the middle between legalities and morality. So I put myself out trying to play it safe, but that didn't work. So the Lord gave me this dream, because when you think you're right, you don't see the problem and the danger it's causing. And I was driving out of town on vacation, and you know, my mind was quiet, so the Lord was talking to me. And he said, he talked to me about charging enough money. You know, when I work on cars, charge people a fair price to me as well as them. And he was telling me I had to charge more. But in the dream, that the next week, he gave me this dream that I saw a bathroom that somebody made that cleans itself. It's in some rich hotel, looked like, from the tile work, and it looked like it was a public place, and it looked like some kind of resort place. Judging how the bathroom looked, it was probably a very 5-star type hotel or something. But it exists somewhere. He just showed me what somebody made. I dreamt about a bathroom that could clean itself, had beautiful tile work, and water would come down and wash everything. And I said, Lord, what in the world was that about? He said, everything I make can take care of itself. And when you think about it, all the animals, you don't have to feed the birds. They're going to eat. You're not going to find a skinny bird. You might find a dead one if there's bad enough drought, but see, they can fly away. The animals can find, they know how to take care of themselves. You don't have to teach them how. If you leave them alone, they got it figured out because God made them like that. And if a man can make a bathroom that can clean itself, he can take care of himself. He don't need me to give them my earnings. And that was the concept he was showing me. Sometimes we read things in the Word, but when you read the Word a lot, you're going to gather enough information for the Holy Spirit to guide you into the center of God's will. And that's what has to happen. Now, Jesus was guided by the Holy Spirit, and he was talking to people who were, they had one foot in idolatry and one foot on the ground. And some of them, the people that came out to hear him, some of them really wanted to know what was right. And some of them just wanted to see miracles. And they tried to make a king out of him. But this is what the Word of God taught when he came, when he became a man. Now we made it to, we were in Matthew chapter 4. We made it down to verse 32. And he's always dealing with the heart. He said in verse 29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. What he's telling you is, the information he's given us is, it's better to pluck out an eye that keeps looking at the wrong thing than to go to hell and lose your whole body, your whole soul, everything. Because that's exactly precisely what happens. But there's a better way to get out of lust, the lust of the eye. You know, it's a better way to handle it than that. And most people are not going to hurt themselves like that. But they'll do something, they'll do the more necessary things to get out of trouble. He's showing them how dangerous it is to have lust in your heart, because in verse 28, he said, but I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And this is a big problem. A lot of people don't deal with it right. The rapture is about to happen. There's a Ugandan pastor. I always advise people to watch it. It's long. It's on YouTube. It's a long video. It's about an hour and a half. But every Christian need to watch that video. Because sometimes the things, it brought me back to this. Sometimes people have gotten away from the fear of God. They don't handle things from the heart like they should. You have the enemy, he tried to tempt you so that you will decide of your own free will to lust after people in your heart. And that is a problem. You don't want lust in your heart. It's a secret problem. And so sometimes people don't deal with secrets. They try to put a mask on. But you have to kill every thought of the world. And it's easy. You don't have to pluck your eye out. But that'll do it. I mean, you can't lust after somebody if you can't see them. But you can fill your heart with God's word and say with your mouth, I love God's word. Now, the people he was talking to, they were more hardened. God had to put it to them like this because of the way that they were taught and trained. They were trained by people that broke all these rules. The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin council, the scribes, they did whatever. And a corrupt tree cannot bear good fruit. So Jesus is trying to help them come out of darkness. So he said it in a way that would challenge them from the core to do so that they'll do something about the problem that exists in their heart by their choice. And you have to unchoose these things and not be afraid of them. You operate in the love of God, you'll fulfill the law. He just got through talking about that part. He came to fulfill it. Now, he talked about letting your light shine. When you follow the path of light, you are already on the right track. So he's dealing with matters of the heart. You have to destroy these things in the heart. Speak, put God's word in place of those problems, those sins, those sinful thoughts. And he says, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. The right hand is usually what everybody needs. That's what they use the most. Most people are right-handed. So he's telling them how serious it is to judge your own sins and do something about them. You don't have to saw your hand off. The easy way, the better way to do it is to change what's in your heart and change the way you process what you see. When you fill your heart with the love of God, you're not going to want to do these things, especially after you've been washed in the blood. You have no sin nature in your spirit. You just have to renew your mind with the word of God, and you have to order your body and tell it what to do. You have to keep your flesh under subjection to you. You have to bridle it. You can bridle the flesh by filling your heart, primarily by filling your heart with the word, mourning and prayer. Pray till you agree with God from the inside and walk in his word. And if you have to fast will quieten the flesh. It will weaken it, and the voice of your flesh will be it won't be so loud, and the voice of God can be louder to you. But don't fast without studying the word and prayer, because you're just going hungry. It'll help somewhat, but it's so much more effective when you fill your heart with the word of God and you're allowing the Lord's word to cleanse you, and you're training your mind. You're renewing it. And then when you walk in the light of his word, you're going to find out it's not only better, but it's an easier way to live. All right. He said, it's been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Now, Moses did that because the people's heart was so hard that it's better for them to divorce than to live in strife and kill each other. But sometimes the people he was talking to, they looked at it as a way out. When they get tired of somebody, that's not what he's talking about. He said, but I say to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. So if she was committing fornication, having an affair, that's grounds for a divorce. But then Paul came, that's not, in the beginning it was one man, one woman, no divorce. Everybody walked in love. That's how it was supposed to be. That's God's best. But sometimes people harden their heart and their heart is not with you. In that case, it's better to get a divorce. Just like what Moses said. Now that in the New Testament, Paul wrote the church about, and he talked about believers and unbelievers. And he talked about how the unbelieving spouse is sanctified by the believing spouse, and they be satisfied to live with you fine. Because sometimes when Jesus preached, a lot of people got saved, and some of them held fast to the world or to the council of the Jews, who were not saved, who followed the Pharisees or whatever. And instead of dividing the whole house up, if they could get along, get along. Because they might get saved. That's what Paul was saying. But then he had to write them back and say, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So, and I've heard all kind of situations. I've heard of people who were shacking together and both of them got saved. Sometimes one of them got saved. Sometimes one of them got saved and one of them got saved later. Now, only God can guide you in that. His guidance will be perfect. But the latter letter that Paul wrote in the second book of Corinthians, if you're saved and the other person is not saved, and they're not, and they don't want to be saved, it's best not to marry. It's best to wait till they get saved, because the enemy will use anything to his advantage against your life, and you're more apt to have children that follow God if you marry somebody that's trying to follow God with you, that's trying to do the right thing and obey God. And remember, when Jesus come back and judge the world, he's coming back to judge them because they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the Son of God. So there's going to be a tribulation period where they'll be judged for not getting saved. And it's better to not be unequally yoked. How can two people walk together except they be in agreement? And we're going to have somewhat of a disagreement somewhere in life, but why let it be the most important thing? Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And then he also wrote, if an unbeliever leave you, let him go. And Jesus said that in Luke chapter 10. If they don't hear the gospel, shake the dust off your clothes of that city that reject the gospel of Christ when he sent the 70 out. And that's still God's attitude. Even though we love the people, he loves them more than you do. But he's the one who said, if they don't get saved and they reject it, shake the dust off your foot and keep going. Now you got somebody you're thinking about marrying. You love them. They may love you, but they won't believe on Jesus. So that the word say, be not unequally yoked with unbelief. Now you're going to find out why the word say if you marry, and you're going to find out why the word said if you obey the word. And your perspective is going to be better if you're in obedience. A marriage is something that's hard to get out. It's a vow. It's a living vow. It's an agreement. And it's not one to be made lightly or foolishly. We need God's counsel. And this is one of the major things that we'll need God's counsel on. But from the position of just trading your wife in, you know, what he said in verse 32, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. And, this is a very important statement. And when we govern our lives by the word of God, we can't go wrong. We have to take God's word literally and seriously. And if we structure our life with foundation, we'll have the success of God. Verse 33 says, again, ye have heard it been said of them in old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yes, yea, yea, or no, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. And you don't want to trap yourself by your own words, is what he's saying. You didn't make heaven and earth. You can't even control what happens to your hair. So don't go around swearing that you're going to do something. Don't co-sign on everything. Don't be so fast to vow to God, because he's going to hold you to it. Now, in 1988, when I saw how important it was, how the Lord blessed me to understand something that I truly needed, I made that vow to commit myself to trusting God, because I saw something. If I trust him, my life's going to be better. And I know that, and I also realized that I can't always tell when I'm right. So I said, Lord, I'm going to obey you. Whatever you say, whether I love it, hate it, like it, dislike it, I'm going to do what you say do. And I tried to keep that vow. There were sometimes I didn't, but then I repented and went back and did what he said do. And the Lord has been very patient with me and blessed me. And because of that vow, I did things that I normally would not have done. So in my case, I'm glad I made it. You can make a vow. It's not a sin. But don't go around making vows so fast. Because, you know, the angel's not going to look at it like you were lying. You forgot. I mean, you don't lie to God. And you don't need to do that. If you make a vow, you need to keep it. And then the vow you make need to be biblical. You don't need to vow something wrong. And then sometimes we promise people things that we really are in no position to keep. When I used to work my first business, people knew that I was a good mechanic. And they tried to get, I had a full schedule sometime. And they tried to make me commit to being there the next day to fix their car, to put them ahead of other people. And they tried to get me to say I'd be there. And whenever I would, sometimes I couldn't. And the Lord got on me about it. You can't overcommit yourself. He said, this is a problem. And he'd have me, and he showed it to me and worked with me on it. He didn't beat me up, but he told me I had to stop doing that. That's why he said, let your nay be nay and your yea be yea. These are foundational things. The Sermon on the Mount is a very foundational sermon. And it can, if you can do these things, it'll help you in governing your whole life everywhere. And if it becomes part of your habit system, you'll structure properly. Because the habit system is a hard thing to break. It's hard to change habits. But when your habit system is the foundational word of God, it's easy for you to build your life better. And the ministry God give you, you'll handle it totally differently and better. All right, verse 38 says, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. But whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, or go with him two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now these scriptures seem to put you at a great disadvantage. But when you consider them, and the Holy Spirit guides you in life, you're going to be a blessing to people the right way from the foundation. It's in your heart to do good towards people. And when people read this, they get afraid of people who will come and ask them for their favorite coat, because they know that you're trying to do right. But this goes way beyond that. And some people, there's a fraction of people that will actually try something that crazy. But he's saying something here. He's showing us how to be a blessing to people, how to have the love of God towards people, how to honor people, how to be patient with other people's needs. Now, there are cases when they may need you. If you've got several coats at home and they have no coat and they're homeless, why not give them a coat? If it's in your power to do somebody good, why not do them good? That's what he's saying. But he's talking to people that have hardened their hearts so hard that they'll have a coat and walk by a naked man and not help him. I mean a man barely dressed, not a streaker, but somebody who somebody's in need. They overlook their needs and don't try to spread the love of God. God has richly blessed us, and we can richly bless others. If he anointed you and you have an anointing that can make the difference, why not be available to use the anointing to help them? If you can write books that will save families and lives, why not write the books? If you can preach a sermon that will alter people's past, why not preach the sermon? You see how deep this goes? But if it's in you to walk by a person that you know needs you, there's no gas station around. You got a working vehicle. They don't have any gas. And they don't look dangerous. The Holy Spirit's compelling you to help them. And you give your car the gas and drive right on by them and forget about it. That's what this scripture's in here for. If you see somebody that clearly needs your help, do something to help them. You have to use wisdom. I know that there are some people that will rob you. They play like they hurt. You have to use the judgment of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of wisdom will rise up and give you a clue into what to do. He'll guide you into all truth. If he put on your heart to stop, it's safe. If you're about to stop and he say keep going, you keep going. And you call somebody on your cell phone. Let the authorities know there's somebody stranded. Most people have cell phones. There's something you can do. But you have to do it in wisdom. And if you learn to pay attention to the Holy Spirit, if you have a healthy study habit of the word, you're receiving a lot of God's word every day, his voice becomes louder to you. And when you need him to give you knowledge and information, you'll know what to do and you'll have the courage to do it. But if you get so busy and you're not studying the word, if the Lord has to yell at you, that means you really need to study the word more. He'll yell at you to keep you out of trouble because your hearing has gone so dull. I've experienced all these things. I'm just telling you the easy way. I found a better way to do this. Study the word of God. I'm not trying to make somebody do something because I think I'm smarter. I've been there. I've done it all. I let myself get so busy. When the Lord speak, I barely hear him. But as I fill my heart with his word, it's easy to hear him. He's detectable when you're looking for him. And he's good. He cherishes you. He loves you. Verse 42 says, give to him that asks of thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn not away. Help people when they need you. Represent God to them. Let them know that they matter. Live like you. Let them know that they matter to you. That's what he's saying. Well, people will try to use me. Don't fear that. Love them anyway. Some of them are trying to use you. Some of them haven't. They don't know, but they don't know God either. And they don't know his power yet. So they're going to act a little strange. They're going to act a little worldly. Big deal. You're rich. They're not. You're going to live forever. And their life is in the balance. This is your chance to win them. And you might be the last chance they have. Verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, when I read this, it really made me sit down. I had to think about it. Verse 45 says, why? That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain to the just and on the unjust. You've heard that scripture, I'm sure. Verse 46, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. If we operate in perfect love, we win souls. And we do the things of God. We represent him in our way, in our course, with our advice, with our counsel, the light of our work, the light that we walk in. This is how we become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. This is how we represent the one who loves us the most, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Son of God. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He's going to thoroughly move in your life. Expect it. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.